worship in spirit and truth. The hour is coming, and it is here. See, true worship comes from the spirit. True worship comes from the heart. Sacrifice, yes, is important. But, you know, God made it clear in Old Testament times that it isn't the overall riding thing he's looking for. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, "The Lord has a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and is obeying the Lord, and in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." See, to God, obedience is from the heart, and that's what's important to him. The inner, authentic worship is what God seeks. For when this happens, because God wants to be involved in our lives and every aspect of our life, from the rotten cores that we carry around with us to the sins, to the joys that we have, every aspect, he will respond to that when we truly worship from the inner part of ourselves, when we truly worship from our spirit, when we truly worship from the heart. So how authentic is our worship? How authentic is my worship? Matthew 15:8-9 says, when I can find it, "This people honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men. From their lips they praise me." From their lips. And this type of worship to Jesus amounts to nothing. When Jesus talks about their vain worship, he's talking about, it's nothing to me. He's looking for true worshippers from the heart. Is there a heart dimension to our worship? Or are we just literally sitting there and standing there singing nice songs? Because if we're doing that, it actually means nothing to God. You see, we can sing songs. We can volunteer to do stuff. We can do as many deeds as we like. We can go to as many churches as we can get to, and you can never end up worshipping God. Yes, these are the acts that express worship, but if it's all external and nothing is happening inward in our hearts and our spirits, our attitude towards our God, all we're doing is honouring him with our lips. We are vain in our worship. And there are numerous definitions of the word worship. But as a spiritual, heartfelt discipline, worship is to honour an extravagant love and extreme submission to somebody who's worthy of it. See, when we worship, when it's right worship, when it's good and pleasing worship, it depends on our grasp of where we place God in our lives. True worship is defined by who God is in our lives and where we place him on the list of our priorities. Is he the one above all things? Is he our first priority? Or are we worshipping worldly gods without actually sometimes unknowing it? Does our lifestyle honour God with extravagant love and extreme submission as Jesus did with the Father? You look at Jesus' lifestyle in the Gospels. Day in, day out, all he did was worship his Father. And from that, people saw a difference in him. Yes, he was the Son of Man. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he had an awe around him. But the difference to me is because he had the Father over him everywhere he went. He put his Father above everything else he did. Before he moved, before he prayed, before he healed, he went to the Father first.
Yeah.
Are we doing the same? Mm-hmm. Is our lifestyle the same as Jesus? Or when we walk out that door, are we worldly once more? What do we value? Are we valuing and treasuring God above all things? Is our worship, is it reflecting our infinite worth to us? And it doesn't have to be here on a Sunday morning when we worship. It's in our workplaces, it's in our families. I walk the dog at lunchtime, turn my phone completely off, and I am singing songs to the Lord as I walk for half an hour. Not out loud, I grant you, because creation would probably disappear as I sing. But truly, it brings a peace to me. It brings a holiness to me. As Adi was speaking, that shalom.
Yeah.
So when I'm going through those crap bits of my day, I have the peace of God on me.
Yeah.
Why? Because I worship him above all things. Yeah. When I do that, my lifestyle is seen above. Yeah. And people say, are you a child of God? We had a fisherman once. Some of you might remember him. And he came to our fishing pond and I got talking to him. Never even spoke a word about God. Never even spoke a word about the Bible. And he says, there's something different about you, isn't there? There's something about different about how you act. And he says, you believe in God, don't you?
Yeah.
I wasn't even trying. Yes. And you know, I was worshipping God through time and through other people coming for him. Saved a life.
Yeah.
We need to have a lifestyle that worships God 24/7. Why? Because people are saved when they see us like that. Mm-hmm. And what's worship designed to do? Is to put a supreme worthiness of God on display. That's why we're doing it. We're putting God on display when we worship him out there. People see it. They do. Truly, they see it. You may not think they do, but truly they see us different when we worship God, when we put him on display out there. And yes, lives might just be saved by us worshiping him. And yes, it's highly appropriate to thank God for what he's done. However, true worship is shallow if it's only solely acknowledging for what God has done for us. Of him meeting our prayers, our needs, our wants. Think about this for a moment. Would you continue to worship God if from this day onwards, if God's signs and wonders were no longer evident in our lives? Would you still think God is worthy of worship? You see, is our worship depending on what God can do for us? Or is it focused on who God is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Who he is. Mm-hmm. Creator. Mm-hmm. Alpha and Omega. King above all kings. Name above all names. Sovereign Lord. Mm-hmm. The Saviour of the world.
Yeah, praise God.
Someone who loves us unconditionally. Our adoration and submission, our worship, should flow from the reality of that God loves us first. If the love poured out on that cross is not enabling us to truly worship who he is and what he's done for us saved, if that's not worth true worship, I don't know what is. I don't know what is. Is our worship ritual and a routine, or is it intentional? See, back in church history, local synagogues, or house groups, as we may call them now, started replacing temples. And yes, temples were still there, but they were used more for special occasions. And as communities of believers started to evolve, got established further and further and further afield, getting to a temple to worship was becoming more and more impossible because of these distances involved. They didn't have the M6 back then. Mind you, the M6 probably doesn't move much faster anyway. Synagogues or house groups became the place where a living community of believers could gather together to read scripture, to pray, to hear the living word of God. Instruction and prophecy were given by those who were gifted by the Spirit to do so. People offered themselves up as living sacrifices. They worshipped where their spirit led them from the heart. And God communed with them, responded to his people as they worshipped him. It was an attitude that characterized God's people above everybody else. Their meetings were informal, largely uninstructed. Their worship was real. You know, a couple of years ago, I was wondering whether God was calling me to be a lay reader at Bickerstaff. But for me, the services were more ritual than real. And that was the turning point for me. You know, even in the churches at Kirby where I go and speak, both of them, you feel they're led by men and not by the Spirit. And maybe that's why God's calling me to be there. I don't know. And it's not a criticism. It's horses for courses. You know, Colossians 2 says, do not pass judgment. And yes, there is power in those hymns. There is power in the prayer. There's power when Wendy leads us in prayer at Bickerstaff. It really touches you. The liturgy and all the truths were based on the faith we believe in. But doing it week in and week out, rote, wasn't for me. So sorry, folks, I'm not going anywhere soon. You're stuck with me. I want my worship to be real and intentional. And I believe OCF's thumbprint allows the platform and the environment for this to happen. That's our thumbprint. Where God's agenda is what counts. It doesn't matter if we're up waving flags, waving our hands in the air, dancing down the aisles, sitting quietly meditating on him, kneeling on the floor, praising him. This church allows it to happen without being judged, without being finger-pointed, without looking weird. You try doing that at Bickerstaff, they'd have you out in the door with two white men with coats on. It has heart. Otherwise, it's in vain. It's an inner spiritual worship. And when this happens, as it has this morning, God communes with us, either as an individual or a body of people. Pouring out his blessing, pouring out his mercy, pouring out his forgiveness, pouring out on his grace. Why? Because he loves to do it. He wants to do it to his people who truly worship him from the heart and not the lips. Just like in those early synagogues where the meetings were informal and without agenda, they allowed the Holy Spirit to lead them. And that doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning either. It can be out there in your workplace, as I've said before. We don't have to be a group to worship. You can do it individually. But he's looking and seeking the people who truly want to worship him. Because when we do that, we make the difference.
Yeah.
You know, be careful here. Because if we can get into a ritual in our service too. We can get into a routine where we do this then, and this then, and this then. We have to be careful we don't fall into the traps that other churches are doing. I remember once when we were at Edge Hill University in the lecture theatre, and we were worshipping, and the roof was flying off. You could tell the Holy Spirit was really with us. And Dave Much came up to me and says, is it all right if you don't speak this Sunday? I went, yes. You know, just because there wasn't a sermon that Sunday doesn't mean God isn't moving in that place. You know, let's switch it around. Let's do something different. We might need a sermon every week if the Holy Spirit says we don't need it. That's basically what was happening at that point in that meeting. The Holy Spirit said, I don't need to do a sermon this week. Just continue to praise me. But it may just be something different. It may not be. It may be communion that week. Listen, we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who will lead us in prayer and worship. Because when we do that, he will commune with us once again. When worship is real, God responds. So as worshippers, we become that living sacrifice. We become holy and acceptable. We become that spiritual service of worship from the heart. That's how I want to worship. To know God truly and respond from the heart to him. By the knowledge of valuing God and putting him above all things. For he is worthy of my worship. Not by what just he's done for me, but basically because who he is. I want to be characterized as one of God's people, as a child of God. Do you? Do you?
Yeah.
For God is seeking true worshippers in spirit and truth, here and now, right now. And OCF as a church gives you that platform and environment to do just that. Let's pray. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your word this morning.
Thank you, Lord, yeah.
I thank you, Lord, that it's all about you.
Amen.
Nothing to do with me or anybody else. And Lord, this morning, as we worship, we just want to lift you on high. Lord, because you are worthy. And Lord, this morning, just as we continue now in our worship, let us open up and worship with our hearts. Our spirits, and let it not just be external, but just a true worship of who you are. The one who died on the cross for each and every one of us, that we may be set free from our sin, and no longer are we living in fear, but we live in the truth. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for that shalom, as Adi was sharing this morning. And Lord, as we lift you up on high, Lord, let us be a people who characterize you in our day-to-day, so people see the difference. And yes, people may have their lives saved because of just worshiping the true and one God. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.